What's up, everybody? Welcome to Think Like the Enemy. Today, I have a very different conversation. Not one to just the perspective of an adversary like I normally do, but I have a conversation that has been lost in our society throughout the world. Maybe a little bit more in America more than anywhere else. A lot of times we have family members that do not agree with us. We have family members that have a different perspective on the way that we think, or even in the way that we lean politically. And that is a conversation that I think that is important, fruitful, and beneficial for everybody within our society. Today I'm bringing somebody that I think is a wonderful addition to our society. She does not necessarily hold the same point of views as I do in a lot of the things, for the most part, and not because she doesn't think like I do, but because she's her own person. She's somebody that I think that in the future is going to be extremely beneficial to our society. I am very proud to call her my cousin. I am very proud of all the accomplishments that she has had in her life so far at her very young age. And I think that in a way, anybody that is out there that will be hopefully interacting with her professionally in her future is going to be blessed by her point of view. And with that being said, here I have my cousin, Deanna Montero. Deanna, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. So I know the other intro was going to sound a lot better, and you probably teared up a little bit, and it wasn't going to be like, oh my God, it's so freaking awesome. But unfortunately, that's what happens when you record. And, you know, yeah, about that.
I know.
I love it. I just want to trick the computer sometimes. So what I wanted to talk to you about, the first piece of news that I have today, is something that touches us in the Florida landscape. So we have that an actual Florida GOP leader actually trashed a freaking hotel room, man. Like, he went in there, he just freaking took, like, I don't know what he did. I wish I knew, because I'm not going to open the news because I think it's just stupid that this is the headlines for Florida news today. Like, literally. Like, right. If you do a search right now on Google and you put, hey, what are the Florida news for today? And it comes up, Florida GOP leader apologizes for trashing a hotel room and says that he'll seek help for alcoholism. Like I asked you on the previous recording, have you had problems with alcoholism before? And I think you said no, right?
No, sir.
It's still a no. Okay. It's still a no, DD. So I'm trying to catch her off guard, yeah. But not working properly here. I have, and I tell you that if I would have trashed a hotel room, I would be in jail. What do you think would have happened to you if you would have trashed a hotel room, like, anywhere? Like, what do you think would have happened to you?
Well, right now in this moment, like, being a college student and everything, I think definitely I would expect to face repercussions, of course, for my mistake, like for my actions. Right. I wouldn't expect to just go unscathed, right?
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if I'd be in jail. I don't know if it'd be a warning. I mean, I'm sure they'd want to be compensated for the damage depending how extensive it was.
Right.
But as far as that goes, I do think it'd be handled differently.
Yeah. But when you're a politician, life is a little bit different, you know? Mm-hmm. So things just work a little bit different when you're in politics, I guess. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how that works. Have you noticed, like, and this is more like, you know, going off a little, I would say a little bit off to just a perspective. Do you think that people in college today are leaning towards that kind of behavior? Or are they leaning more towards, like, a more focused approach to their studies? Because they're understanding the financial repercussions of their actions, or you think they're people just being stupid altogether no matter what?
I think the best way to answer that would be if we had like a pie chart, because I don't think there's one definitive answer. Like, it's not a black and white answer. So I definitely want to preface that. But as far as like the majority goes, I think people have their goals pretty much solidly established. Some people don't know how to go about them and they kind of veer off the path. So I do think there are some people exhibiting that kind of behavior. I think we've seen an increase in the past few years for sure.
Okay.
But do I think it's like majority versus minority? I think, I don't think so.
Okay. That's really interesting. It's something that just occurred to me, like, in honesty, Because, you know, we it's just going off of what we're reading. You know, somebody, I would assume in his late 40s or whatnot. And we can open the news real quick just because we are here. Might as well just see who this wonderful human being that we call a politician was. So it was actually near Orlando. He's 43 years old. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. So, interesting. He's an executive director for the GOP in Florida. So somebody high up within the hierarchy of an actual, I would say, party, political party. So I encounter college in a very different way as you do, because you go into actual, you go into class. I don't, because I don't like people that much, and I cannot sit in a classroom for an hour and a half to listen to somebody. I can't do it. I tried. I've done it before. I don't like it. I can't get it. I don't know. I just don't like it because I love talking. So then when I start, they say something a little bit different than what I think, then I kind of go off and I'm the guy that is interrupting everybody. Everybody's looking at me like, just shut the hell up. We just want to get out of here. You know, it's not that I'm trying to drag the lecture. It's just that I think that we all should be heard in some shape or form. That's why I do podcasts. So let's move on to the next section, next news. So something that we spoke before, and I was telling you about, you know, the actual expressions that former President Donald J. Trump made publicly speaking about abortion. He said basically, and I am not quoting, but this is a way that we can interpret it. He basically put the actual decision of abortion back to the states in the same way that the Supreme Court did back when they overturned Roe v. Wade. It is something that I agree with. I agree that these states should be the ones that have the authority to make the laws within their actual geographical confines. There should be nobody else telling them what to do because it is their sovereignty as a state. That is my true and honest belief. Do I think that the safeguard that Roe v. Wade had at the federal level was beneficial up to a point? Not necessarily, because it was bad law. If we go back to the law itself, if you read it, if you want to get in, have an actual abortion, it should not be protected by the federal government. It should be protected by your state if your state allows it. What do you think people in college today have to say about what Donald J. Trump said? Do you think that people lean more to the left or that they lean more to the right? From the interactions that you've had, like, in all honesty, it's not putting you, I don't want you to feel like you're being put in the spot. You're not being the spokesperson for college, you know, or college students in general. It's just what you've seen and what you have talked to people, you know, people within, I would say, you know, your reach for that matter.
It's just interesting because I'm actually thinking back, like, so you know how college in general is supposed to kind of be a hub for wokeness, like regardless of where it is, right? Like the majority wants to be woke. Like we want to be cool. We want to be on the same page.
Right.
And we want other people to be on the same page just as strongly as we are. That's a human deficit in general, but college, it's like on steroids. Like everyone wants to be a collective hive mind. And it just, of course, it's not going to be that way.
Whatever. Do you think that that comes just from the way that the actual programs are designed within the college structure? Or do you think it's more of the social confines in which people are being thrown into?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
But I would say leaning more towards like social media, the confines, society, peer pressure, etc.
Perfect. Moving on with your statement. Sorry that I interrupted.
No, I was going to mention though that like, so with that, the whole wokeness thing, whatever, you know, here, at least on my campus, like they encourage students to speak out on things, you know, things that are important to them, you know, to get people's attentions, you know, keep up with the times, whatever. And I've seen both spectrums of it pertaining to this particular topic, because sometimes there's people tabling, you know, saying like, hey, sign this bill, like, you know, pro abortion, like, you know, so they don't take away your rights or whatever.
Right.
But then there's also other people that literally will have signs saying like abortion is murder. And there's even a guy that he preaches the gospel every day and will literally single people out. And it's like, yeah, you're going to hell, like for what you think.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different
My question is, do you happen to know if he's associated with a group called Turning Point USA? Have you seen a shirt of TPUSA anywhere?
I have not noticed, okay. But I know he's always by himself and he never has, like, he doesn't advertise anything. That man just holds his Bible and, like, screams at people.
Okay. Got it. Okay. That's a little.
Sorry.
No. Like, I get it. You know, that's a little out there kind of. Yeah. Kind of approach, you know what I mean? Like, hey, man, mm-hmm. it's freedom of speech in this country. You can do whatever you want. Right. Like, I'm okay with that. I have no problem mm-hmm. with that man screaming at somebody else. But I think that I think that we're at a very different point in our society where people are not reacting, I would say, logically to the right or the left anymore. I think mm-hmm. that people nowadays want to have more of a centrist ideology. Everybody getting along, not singing kumbaya, but everybody respecting one another. Mm-hmm. I think that when you sit down in a social group more in your age bracket, you know, I'm a couple years before you, almost 20 years before you. For us, it's either we're defined as left or right, and we just... Mm-hmm. don't scream at each other, because in our family we don't do that, but we try to put our point across in a way that it is respectful to the other. I'll tell you a perfect example. You remember when we were in the dinner that we had down in Fort Pierce with our mm-hmm. you know, with our aunt and our uncle, and we just spoke openly about it, and one mm-hmm. of our, you know, the people in the party, they had a very strong opinion about President Trump. And you know that I'm a Republican. You know that I am leaning right for the most part. But mm-hmm. I don't think that in any shape or form, I disrespect her point of view. And I laid it out in a way that it was more, not neutral, it was more to the right, but it was respectful to her point of view. I think that that is a very hard gap to reach today in America and more in the world, because people are either leaning one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And there is even in... within the ideology of centrism, there is actually an idea that centrism leads to either the two R's, either reform or revolution.
Hmm.
Right, because it's more of the way that people try to portray it on the right, saying that if you don't put your stance in this way, blah, 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 you're wrong, because it's either going to lead to a reform or a revolution. I don't find that reform is a bad notion up to a point.
Right.
That's basically what happened with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. As a reform to an existing law, it was basically taken down.
Yeah.
So how can we sit here looking at what you're looking at your campus, which we're not going to disclose where you're at. We're going to keep it very confidential. But mm-hmm. how can we sit here, and I'm not saying we, but how can people sit here and say that you either have to be with God or with the devil, when at the end of the day, we all have to coexist, and we all, within the actual boundaries of our constitution, allow for debate to happen, allow for free speech to happen, and for all of us to have a point of view that is respected by the other side.
Yeah, well, it goes back to kind of that middle ground that you mentioned. Like, that's what ideally we should be all trying to achieve to some extent. Some people know that and just don't want that, and hey, that's fine. That's why you have your own mind to think the way you want.
Right.
Some people want that and they're just not conscious of it. They don't know how to say things. Maybe the heat of the moment, you're too passionate. Like, there could be an infinite amount of, you know, like, how can I say, like, stimuli that just, you know, overts that, right. I suppose. But I think the way to start, I mean, as cliche as it may sound, is like practicing having like one-on-one conversations with different types of people in the most, not neutral, but like, I don't know how to say, like, assertive. A way that you can get your point across. Assertive, but not like violently assertive, just like asserting your point, you know, laying out the facts and letting the other person speak, but be willing to listen too. Because it doesn't matter if you let someone speak, you have to be willing to listen and be open-minded to an extent to like, let the gears turn on what they're
right,
telling you.
Right. Do you think that people nowadays speak with facts, or did they just become like a little parrot or a parakeet, just speaking about what they see or they hear in social media on whatever news outlet do they consume?
The second option. And it's so bad.
Right.
I even see it in myself sometimes. I'll be like, Mom, did you see, I don't know, that Toyota supposedly is the best brand of car out there is because I saw it in a TikTok. Like,
right.
Why would I tell her that? Like, knowing that that doesn't even sound right off the tongue, why would I even willingly believe that? So I think it's crazy.
Do you think it's because the marketing in TikTok or the marketing in any social media outlet is properly working?
It's working in the way they want it to work, but right. Not in the way that it should be working out.
But how can one change his actual point of view after being conditioned to listen to everything that is out there for you to consume?
Breaking out of the matrix. No, JK.
That's pretty good. People are going to love that, by the way.
Not being woke. Breaking out, not JK. So what's a good answer? Damn. Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Sure. How can one break away from the things that you are consuming in social media and marketing doing what it's supposed to do? I'm pretty sure I'm not saying exactly the same paraphrase that I did, but that's what we're going to go for.
The answer to that is finding reliable sources. How do you find reliable sources?
That's what I was going to ask next.
Peer-reviewed articles.
Okay, there you go.
Even
when Francine Gay actually basically lied on her whole dissertation for her doctorate, and 9 of her actual, like, reviewed articles that she wrote in Harvard University.
Well, did somebody review the review?
They did not. No, not to my knowledge.
Maybe that's the problem. They need to fix the system.
Oh, okay. Now, I was just putting you in a very uncomfortable spot, but go ahead and keep going. Yeah.
I definitely lost my train of thought. Okay, what I was saying. This feels like a test.
No, it's not a test. It's just a cousin messing with another cousin. That's it.
Yeah. I know. Ugh, and I always fall for it too.
I know. It's cute. So bad. It's so cool. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to stick with just what I said because I can't
think of it. Yeah, the actual peer-reviewed articles, that's like the first thing, how you can find a reputable source. What else do you think is a reputable source out there?
What do they say? I'm pretty sure they say, like, stay away from, like, .net, .com.
Right.
Like, go more towards, like, .org, .edu. Like, that's kind of, like, how that helps, I suppose, but maybe not 100%.
Right.
Not relying on hearsay, not relying, like, willingly conditioning your mind to be like, okay, this is probably fake, you know?
Right.
But
I'll tell you something interesting, right? And this is something that you more than likely, I am 100% certain that you don't know it because it is not pointed out anywhere. There are a bunch of .org websites that actually give you the truth of what's happening out there. But then the mainstream media, a .com website, will tell you that that is not right because they have an expert that comes in that has done peer review articles or that has been a scholar in such and such university. And then all of a sudden they refute the actual information that the government legally has to present in front of its actual citizens for them to know it. This is basically what we're outlining here. It is basically the way that this whole game is being played when it comes to the misinformation machine, the Russiagate BS that happened in 2015, 2016, the before that, the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal in the White House and President Bill Clinton being impeached, Ronald Reagan basically just being Ronald Reagan. He was an amazing president. That's just me. Then Richard Nixon spying on the freaking, you know, Democratic National Convention, basically trying to get some dirt on political opponents, making him to resign. So to me, what is the best source? The best source to me is what I can see. Because believing on the system itself is not cutting it anymore. Because we're at a very severe impasse to where our mode of governance has come down to. I think that not the mainstream media alone, but the actual military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical companies, and pretty much anybody that has an actual potential gain to be had in this game that we call the American, you know, dream, the American society, has definitely poisoned the minds of the individuals enough that we do not even believe what we see in front of us. It has come down to that, to me. To me, what do? I try to look at both perspectives. I try to look at both sides of the argument, and then I make my conclusion. Because it is extremely hard, I would say, for me to sit in front of an actual camera, in front of an actual audience, and not have the proper information for them to consume. If you are a listener of this program, you know that every single time that I have something in front of me, you can see it. You can see the source, because I don't want you to think that I'm just sitting here and just spewing garbage. That's literally it. Because I hate that crap. I hate looking at some of these podcasts and some of these videos, and you go like, why in the fuck did I just spend 20 minutes watching this shit? Why the fuck did I do it, bro? Like, I'm you're just looking at it. You're sitting here like, did they just clickbait the fuck out of me? Like, did they?
Like,
just,
you lost like 5 brain cells, bro, like, in 3 minutes.
Five, motherfucker. I lost like 20, bro. Like, like, they're just singing there like Homer Simpson, just going with the little two little freaking clapping things. Like, I got 2 left, motherfucker. That's it. That's all. It really bothers me. So that's why I try to put the sources. And that's why in the screen that is being recorded right now, what people are seeing is basically on the right-hand side, you're seeing all the crap that we're talking about. And then on the left-hand side, you're seeing our happy little faces. And by the way, quick plug, if you like this type of content, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. We love to continue the conversation after this podcast is completed. With that being said, so consuming now, it is a very, very, very difficult commodity, because as we saw back in 2015, like I was saying, people talking about things that are actually happening in the world. And I'll give you a quick snippet of it. 2020 happened. The election happened. Everybody on the right, Biden stoned the election. Not everybody, but a very big majority, right? You remember the story. People saying, oh, he stole it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Where's the evidence? That's all I want to know. Where is the evidence?
Now, are you asking me?
No, I'm just spewing. Just spewing in all honesty. Right. Where's the evidence? I'll tell you where the evidence is. Today, in the other podcast that I was at, we were talking about how the laws in the state of Texas work. Let's say that you don't have an ID in the state of Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So far, you're following. Let's say that you say, I can't get an ID. Okay, cool. You have 2 options. You either go to register as a voter and you give them your social security number and they can identify you that way. Mm-hmm. Right? Seems very, very reasonable, wouldn't you say?
Right, yeah.
Right. Let's say that you don't want to do that either. All you have to show them is a bill, like an electric bill or utility bill. A paycheck,
mm-hmm.
or an actual piece of information that comes from a government-based database, and you get a ballot for you to cast your vote.
Oh, this is just for your like voter's ID? I thought you meant like
just
ID
to,
card.
No, just like, to actually go and vote. No voter's ID card.
Oh.
Just for you to get a ballot for you to vote. Once you heard this, don't you think that it's a little weird, right?
Yeah.
Would you believe me if I told you that it is actually written into law?
That it is written into law?
Yes, ma'am. It is written into the law.
This feels like a trick question.
It's not a trick question. It's the actual honest to God's truth. It is written in the code for voter registration in the state of Texas that you basically don't need to show a hardship in order for you to claim. Like, you don't need to show hardship. You can say, no, I can't make it. I can't go get an ID. My argument in the other podcast was, okay, they can't go get an ID. How are they going to go get that ballot?
Right.
Why is that code not being changed right now? That's what I honestly want to know. And this is happening all over the U.S. So now we can put, with this in mind, I'm not saying that everybody that peddled the idea that the election was stolen is actually right. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the premise legally is there for somebody to dive deeper into this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an actual push from the government itself or the people that are at a high enough level for them to put doubt into the system itself for this upcoming election? Or is it just information being placed in front of us for us to discern? That is a real question.
Dang, yeah, because like even the media in general, like they always like they'll throw stuff in your face so that you become desensitized to it anyway. So it's correct. Like that is a good theory.
Correct. But then and it's also, it's just a conversation looking at the pieces of information in front of us. That's right. Why I called my podcast Think Like the Enemy. Because the only way that this shit will make sense if it is something is doing this type of push or this type of conversation from an adversarial perspective. There's no other way around it.
Very much so. Right? I definitely see that.
Bro, but it's so weird.
Very sus. I don't know.
Right here. I got my voter registration card. I got it in the mail. Look, it's right here. This is so important that I was able to go and buy a gun with this. Because my ID card did not have my actual, like, address currently there. But I had registered to vote. So they were able to prove my residency with this actual ID card.
So it's that deep?
It is that important, yes. But for a state to take their voter registration basically as peanuts, that to me is the most concerning thing that I've heard. Because until 1920, women cannot fucking vote. Mm-hmm. And yet again, you're slapping the face of every fucking person before us that came, that actually fought for this fucking right here in front of me, just because you just want to go, fucking, we'll go with what we can. That's what really aggravates the shit out of me, Diana. It really does. Right.
Yeah.
Because I do not understand where America is going to. Not right, not left. This is just honest to God, following the rule of law. That is what we hear every single day. So what the fuck are we doing, America? Why are people not speaking up a little bit more about this kind of issue? I'm not saying that if you live in the state of Texas, you should be irate right now. I'm saying that if you live in the state of Texas, you should be really fucking irate right now. Like you should be pushing forward for your actual, I don't know, representatives to go out there and fight. And I'm not saying physically fight. I'm saying fight the proper way. Make sure that the law gets changed. Make sure that you don't have a law in your state. And I go that I'm going off on a little tangent, but I had to say it because it just really pissed me off. Make sure that your attorney general doesn't need to have the permission of your fucking county prosecutor for him to go and prosecute election fraud in your county. That's what I would do, Texas. Yeah, that is stupid too. And that is the truth because basically you have an attorney general in a state that is basically a fucking title. He's just sitting there like a dumbass, waiting for somebody to call him so he can do his fucking job. That's how stupid.
I don't like that.
Yeah. It is stupid. So that's why you see balkanization happening in America, where people, like-minded people, are moving to states that are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the laws in your state? What did they tell you? Move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Another perspective that can be taken into think like the enemy point. Why am I being told that I have to leave exactly everything that I have fought for until this point in my life just because I don't like the laws that are being put in front of me? Wouldn't it be easier for me as a citizen, as a law-abiding citizen, to go and hold office in one of these counties and make sure that the laws are more to in line, not just with what I believe in, but to what my community believes in?
Can you not do that?
You can, but people decide that it's easier and cheaper for them to go and say, I'm just fucking off and I'm moving somewhere else.
That's crazy.
That's why if you read the Constitution and if you start looking at the Federalist actual papers, it talks about the small size of government, manageable, and that it goes in tiers. It goes from the community to the county, from the county to the state, from the state to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where we are today, where people just want to focus on the state and federal and fuck the community. And that's where these vultures just come in and psh, psh, and just picking
That's
everything.
crazy. It's like the tier system is like basically just done. Like they're making their own tier system.
Right. It is not necessarily that it is done. Mm-hmm. But to me, it is that they are definitely putting it into a perspective that is not being taken as serious as it should.
Yeah.
Who's your county administrator in the county that you currently live in? Exactly. Who's your actual representative?
The governor of the state?
No. You have a state legislature.
That's under the governor?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You also have senators. You have your township, town administrator, your county administrators, the actual little, people that work there as well. And then on top of that, you have your legislature, your senator. They don't. For the most part, they don't. They just look at the ballot and they go like, "Oh, this motherfucker's a Republican. I'll vote for him." Or,
"Yeah,
oh,
check.
He's a Democrat. Fuck everybody on the Republican side. This motherfucker's hated." And they do.
Your voices go crazy.
I know, right?
It's
like Peter Griffin. Like, dude, but it is very, very sad how we have taken for granted the structure of our government and the appropriate levels that it holds. That's it.
For real. Because that's why there's a department for everything. So it's like, it's kind of like people, the ones that want to resolve the issues, like they're trying to resolve it with the wrong like office. Like it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. That's where we are in the world. That's where we are in America today. Because our levels of governance, right, our levels of government, like if you talk to somebody from the UK, or you talk to somebody from the Netherlands, from Romania, from Egypt, from Cairo, which is in Egypt as well, but from Ghana, you talk to somebody from Israel, they do not all of them, some of them do, but a lot of them go like, "Why do Americans have so many tiers of government?" And they'll tell you, they're like, why the fuck do you guys do this? Like, why can't you just appoint one motherfucker and then this? Because we have it. So that way somebody, a tyrannical piece of shit, cannot come in and take control of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hold up. Give me a second. Something happened here.
You good?
No. Boom. Okay, we're back. So, so somebody doesn't take control of the whole thing. Why do Americans have so many guns? Because we fucking want to. Because we fucking can. That's why we have them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because at one point, I don't know, maybe we had a tyrannical fucking monarchy trying to take the shit on everything that we built.
Right.
And we said never again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So that's where the rubber meets the road, as some people say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where there's a difference between our country and the countries abroad. I'm not saying that they're wrong in their idea. Some of them actually have a very high social standard, in my belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Emir has his cerebral palsy. He has his epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think the medication that we give him would cost in the United Kingdom?
$0.
$9.64. £9.64.
Which is equivalent to $12.
How much do you think that medication costs here in America?
$500.
That's one of the bottles. On the low end.
One of the bottles? On the low end?
We get three bottles of one medication, three bottles of another medication. One of the medications is $500 each.
That's each 15, tablet?
Each actual liquid, because he's an infant.
Oh,
he's a child.
My bad.
He's not an infant.
My bad.
No, right. Get it correct. God, you're the daughter of pharmacists. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's why I'm not in medicine.
No, but one of the medications is actually $500 a bottle.
Wow.
So that's three of them. That's $1,500.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, kicker here, the one that is the most fragile that I have dropped in the past and I've broken in one of those bottles is $1,900 each bottle.
Every month.
Thankfully, I do not have to pay for them out of pocket, but my out of pocket cost for all those things is about $500 a month. Just some medication. So I basically pay for one of them. The insurance pays for the rest. Great. Awesome. Very happy that that happens. So it would have been $7,500 a month. In the UK, per medication, every time that I go refill the script, it's $9.64.
Okay, or £9.64. How is insurance like doing their job like in America if you still pay $500 a month? Like, that's still crazy insane. Like, even if you were a millionaire, like, even if you had all the money in the world, why is like that's like, oh my god,
I paid more for medication for my son to be not necessarily alive. He's not necessarily, but for him to have a controlled medical condition that I pay for insurance and one of my cars.
You know, when we were talking about like losing brain cells, like I just lost like at least 15 because I just can't comprehend that that's our system. But
yet again, I am okay with the way that things work here, because if you look at the taxation, and check this out, I'll put the argument together. The way that the actual insurance works in the UK, your taxation from your actual income, it is higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 8% on one end. There's three tiers of taxation. You have 10% in one, 8% in the other one, and the other one's like 4%. So your income is taxed at 22, 23%, which here, if you make a lot of money, you get taxed the same way. And historically, we have seen that anybody that gets taxed more than 25% actually has a very bad economy. So that's why the UK is suffering right now. On top of that, their electricity is extremely high. Their actual rent is through the roof, so they're having a bad issue. My point is that different systems have different consequences, and the ones that we're living here are made by America. They're not made by anybody else.
True.
Right.
But like, but that's the UK. But what about these other countries that are like actually successfully like implemented? I mean, obviously, it's because I feel like my information is not citable. It's not quotable. So it's like, I'm just speaking off what I've probably
heard. That's okay. Like, go for it. We have no checks and balances here. I'm the only check and balance you have here. So
perfect. Green light.
No. Yeah, literally.
So like the Netherlands and like all those places like Por Allá, like just so far and everything. Like, how do they successfully have like plans in place? I know their taxes are high and like all that stuff. Like, their money is coming from somewhere, obviously. But like, how are there countries that have successfully implemented those plans? And like, why can't we take after that as an example?
Okay, very good example. The Netherlands is a wonderful example to have, because the Netherlands now is moving away from a social structure. They are actually restructuring their social element to their society, because they have noticed that they're basically hemorrhaging money in a way that is not possible for them to subsist. So in the end, and one of our particular relatives might not agree with this statement, and I'm okay with that because I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen to the podcast anyways, and I love her anyways. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what she say. I love her, and she's freaking awesome. But capitalism kind of has a way of saying fuck you to every other societal construct. Because the only thing that is limiting me from giving my son the best care possible is my possible earning potential. So I am the responsible person for that human being getting or not getting his medication. That's it.
But why is it not the government's responsibility?
Because it's not the government's
responsibility. Shouldn't they want to keep their population alive? Like, I know, like, with no means, you know?
Absolutely. And this is an argument that it is had today, tomorrow, for the next 100 years when it comes to our Constitution.
Oh, it goes back to that. Everything goes back to the Constitution.
Everything goes back to the Constitution.
Like, I'm seeing the pattern finally.
There you have it. Everything goes back to that, because there's an actual, like, honest to God argument by, like, constitutional scholars. There's two sides to constitutional scholars. Some of them actually believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. The other one feel that it is just a document that is just there for people to reference. Two very separate arguments to the same piece of paper.
So low-key, it's like people view the Constitution like how some people view the Bible. Like, some people think it's like, other people think it's like, that's an example.
We just reference it, and that's it, y'all. That's literally what they say.
Mm-hmm, right.
So that's
why.
They eat my wheel. Right, right. But that's kind of like, you know, what people feel like, you know, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Dang. We're the conversation is great, but we're pushing 39 minutes right now. Hold up. Give me a second. Bye, yeah. Right. I'm out. Yeah. No, we're not closing yet. We're going to do like the last piece of information because we kind of went on a separate conversation. Again, if you like and you sincerely enjoy this type of conversation, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. We really appreciate your support. And to all of you who follow me on X, I really appreciate it. You're freaking amazing. And I love you. So
on X sounds crazy. Formerly Twitter.
Formerly Twitter, right? You got to say the caveat. Okay, so now what I'm going to talk about very briefly is that 2 hours ago, actually 4 hours ago, let's see, the actual Iranian space, specifically all the traffic, air traffic in Tehran has been closed. There's no more air traffic in Tehran today. Yesterday marked the end of Ramadan, and today marks the actual beginning of Eid al-Adhir Fatir, which is basically the official end of Ramadan. And if I butcher that, I apologize to all my Middle Eastern friends, but you know that I don't speak Arabic that well. So, Shwervik. So, what does that tell us? It tells us two things. And those two things are very, very, very interesting. There's a possibility of conflict happening between Iran and Israel. Now that Ramadan is done, they can pretty much try to go and do anything that they want. What will happen, we don't know. What we know is that the American interest is at bay right now, and we need to keep a very close eye to it, which I will more than likely not sleep tonight, scanning every single piece of article, Telegram networks, so I can have the news covered, because it is something that is very important to me. The other piece is that we have an actual embassy in Jerusalem, that if it is hit by an Iranian actual attack, it could mean potentially that we are at war with the Middle East once more. So for those of you who are watching, please keep a close eye to this particular news, because it should be very important to you and everybody else in the world. It could be the potential beginning of World War III. We don't know. I hope that I am wrong, but what I see is that every single piece in the puzzle is laid out for Israel to have conflict with a lot of the Arab nations. More so, we have an actual NATO member, which it is Turkey, that unfortunately Turkey has taken the posture to back their Ottoman Empire beginnings. They're going back to their idea that they should be the beacon of hope when it comes to the Arab countries. So they will more than likely not hold the back of the United States of America. And my prediction could be that potentially Turkey would say bye-bye to NATO at one point, if they want to actually hold a higher piece of the Muslim world. With that being said, that is my closing statement for the news for today. So, Gianna, do you have anything else that you would like to add? Anything that you're working on, anything that you care about, that you are keeping a close eye on? If you're not, that's cool too. Nothing, no worry with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do want to say one thing, because I don't know, I just, even though it might not sound related, like I'll put the pieces here, but
sure.
Like with that's happening, just everything in the world in general. I don't know if you've seen this actually, but I saw something that there's a mystery going on right now on the coast of Florida, and it's that the fish like in the ocean are like projectile spinning, like they can't stop spinning. Like, and it's different breeds of fish, like male and female fish, pregnant, non-pregnant, seahorses, like they're just spinning in circles and they can't stop. Spinning
fish? What the fuck? Yeah, no,
I don't know. And like, I know, hearing that makes me like relate that to what you just said. And that's just like, you know, I feel like triple digits is coming. You know what I'm saying? Right.
I hope not. I hope that we're wrong, you know, honestly, man. And again, you know, the expressions of this podcast are the expressions of Vivid Podcast Media and LLC. They're not the expressions of Gianna Marrero. They're not the expressions of Francisco Aviles either. I had to make the disclaimer because it is a protection for both of us. Because now that you've been part of one of the episodes, people can try to become stupid and try to sue. So if they want to sue, they can sue an LLC. They don't have to sue us. Particularly me, because you haven't said anything of the sort. I'm just being honest.
No, yeah, you're right.
I hope that in all honesty, I am wrong. I am wrong. But the pattern does not point that way. Because I sincerely believe that, and once you have the pieces laid out, it is very hard for you to pull them back from the board. Just think of every single board game that you have played in the past, dominoes, it doesn't matter. Once you're in a winning position, you do not want to fucking lose. So that is pretty cool. Thank you for sharing that. I did not know that, but I will definitely look into it.
Yeah, please.
It sounds interesting, dude. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Spinning fucking fish? I'm in.
Like, great.
Yes, please. Okay, great. So is that the last piece that you want to say? You don't want to do like a closing statement, nothing? You don't say, hey, I'm Janet Montreiro, I'm out. You know, like none of that.
I mean, peace. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hope to do this again sometime soon.
I hope so, too. I appreciate your time sincerely, and I hope that you will come back on the podcast. Next, we have on Friday, I have a retired police officer that is going to give us some insight on the things that he is working on, because he believes that things are a little bit different than what we think. So his perspective is going to be one that I am interested to have in the podcast, because it is not the actual perspective of somebody thinking like the enemy, but it is a perspective of somebody that has been in law enforcement for many, many moons, and that he sees that some things are not what they should be. I wonder what his take is going to be on a lot of the things happening in our world today. Also, on top of that, we have another podcaster, which I will introduce him on the Friday podcast, and we will talk about what his project is. And he talks about fatherhood. He's heard me talk about, you know, my situation with my son particularly, and he is interested in coming on the podcast and having a conversation about fatherhood. So we're going to shift the gears a little bit back from thinking like the enemy, putting a perspective to the things that have been through my life that have actually helped me to become, in my opinion, a better father. Somebody that that can take the adversity and embrace it and make it into something that is positive and fruitful for my little one. So with that being said, thank you for watching. Thank you for allowing me to fill your head with knowledge and explode your freaking brain cells. I appreciate that. Right, of you know, course. To all the listeners and everybody out there, again, your actual time is precious to me, and I hope that you have enjoyed this podcast. My name is Frankie Aviles. This is Think Like the Enemy. Thank you for watching. God bless America. God bless you. And remember to always think like the enemy.